This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Just remember to give thanks where it is due to the cook. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics. And we work to keep state and church separate, which is very important.
And who is our guest today?
We will have a chaplain.
A chaplain,
and that's a first. But the twist is that he's a secular chaplain. He's at Harvard.
His name is Greg Epstein, and he has a brand new book that just came out. His book is called Good Without God.
And we did have a very special request from Ann Gaylor. She's my mother, and she's the principal founder and administrator of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. She's now president emerita of the foundation, and it's her birthday coming up on November 25th. So happy 83rd, Mom. And she wants more music, and specifically she wants more of Dan's music on Free Thought Radio from time to time. So on this first half of Free Thought Radio, that's what we're going to do.
But before we do that, we had dinner with her last night, and she told a joke. She's reading the biography.
And she doesn't tell many jokes, I should say. She's a woman of few jokes, but when she tells them,
they're
funny.
Them, these are funny. She's reading the autobiography of Larry Hagman, the actor. He's the son of Mary Martin. The Broadway singer, and you know Larry Hagman played in Dallas, and he played on Jeannie.
What was I Dream of Jeannie in the '60s.
When he was a little boy, someone broke the news to him that his grandfather had died. It was a family friend, and he was a little boy, and he didn't know what to say. What do you say when someone tells you your grandfather dies? And he said,
"His mother was not there; she was on Broadway, so that was part of it."
Oh yeah, Mary Martin was playing.
So this unusual person told him this intimate information.
So he wasn't quite sure what to say. So he said, "Oh, my grandfather died. Well, I know a joke. Why was my grandfather buried with his boots on?" And she said, "Well, why? Well, what do you think?" So that he won't hurt himself when he kicks the bucket.
So there you have it, a joke on death. And we'll be bringing you information in a few minutes about other famous freethinkers born in the month of November. But now let's go to the music. And the first selection of Dan's music is from FFRF CD, Friendly Neighborhood Atheist, which is Dan's signature line. And this first song actually wasn't written by Dan because it was written in the 1500s.
And it's I'm not that old.
Famous German anthem. It's performed by Dan, and it's also performed by our good friend Kristen Lems of Evanston, Illinois, who's a nationally known feminist and topical folk singer, and she turned us onto this song for the first time.
We began our convention in Seattle earlier this month, as we begin all of the conventions of the Freedom From Religion Foundation by performing this song. It was sung by the Germans, by the resistance in Germany, and Pete Seeger has sung it, and many other people have sung it. It's called My Thoughts Are Free, or in German, Die Gedanken sind frei.
Die Gedanken sind frei.
My thoughts freely flower.
Die Gedanken sind frei.
My thoughts give me power.
No scholar can map them.
No hunter can trap them.
No person can deny.
Die Gedanken sind frei.
No person can deny.
Die Gedanken sind frei.
I think as I please, and this gives me pleasure.
My conscience decrees, this right I must treasure.
My thoughts will not cater
to duke or
dictator, no person can deny. Diga Duncan sin fry, no person can deny. Diga Duncan sin fry.
Should tyrants take me and throw me in prison, my thoughts will burst free like blossoms in season.
Foundations will crumble and structures will tumble,
and free people shall cry, Diga Duncan sin fry. And free people shall cry, Diga Duncan sin fry.
Diga Duncan sin fry, that was sung by Kristen Lems and Dan Barker. And next is a song that also Dan didn't write the music to, but he tweaked the words from his background as a church-going kid who became a preacher. And so it was Dan who thought to turn around the words of the Battle of Jericho and turn it into an anthem to the separation between church and state, the wall of separation between church and state.
We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, over the wall come tumbling down. I've heard about your hero, Joshua, but his accomplishments are not so great. But there's none like Thomas Jefferson and the wall between church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will come tumbling down. Some say that the wall between church and state is just a bad metaphor. But if unbelievers can't be protected from the rest, then what is the Bill of Rights for? We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will come tumbling down. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will come tumbling down. Oh, we got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will tumble, tumble.
Thank you. or the wall will come tumbling down.
And we don't want that to happen.
The wall will come tumbling down. This last song that we're going to play is fitting because Annie Laurie asked me to write a song in the style of a tango, because did you know that the tango was one of those musical styles that the church outlawed? It was sinful, it was sensuous, it was against God's law to dance the tango. So, of course, what better style to perform the song, Beware of Dogma?
Beware of dogma, it has a bite. Beware of dogma, it wants a fight. Beware of dogma, it will ignite a holy war by itself. Beware of dogma, it'll trap your mind. Religious dogma, it'll make you blind. Beware of dogma, it's not designed to let you think for yourself. If we let it out in the universe, there will be no doubt, everything is worse. Beware of dogma, don't let it loose. That unchained dogma, it'll reproduce. Tie up your dogma, there's no excuse for ignorance anymore. It has a bite.
Beware of dogma.
It wants a fight.
Beware of dogma.
It will ignite a holy war by itself.
Beware of dogma.
It'll trap your mind.
Religious dogma.
It'll make you blind.
Beware of dogma.
It's not designed to let you think for yourself. If we let it out,
if we let it out
in the universe,
for universe,
there will be no doubt,
there will be no doubt,
everything is worse,
the very worst. Beware of dogma,
don't let it loose.
That unchained dogma,
it'll reproduce.
Tie up your dogma,
there's no excuse for ignorance anymore.
Please clean up after your dogma.
And, of course, that was Dan Barker barking. If you're a regular listener to Free Thought Radio, you'll hear a lot of incidental piano music, and that's, of course, all my host, Dan Barker. And so that was fun. And my question is, does music have the power to soothe even the breast of the religious right? We'll see.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylord for Free Thought Radio. We'll be right back with a quick tribute to freethinkers who were born in the month of November. And then we'll talk with a godless chaplain, the humanist chaplain at Harvard, Greg Epstein, about how to be good without God.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org.
or phone 1-800-335-4021.
And we're back with Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And that's the favorite song, of course, Thanksgiving, Over the River and Through the Woods. Did you know the words were composed by a rejecter of organized religion, a famous abolitionist and a pioneering woman author? Her name was Lydia Maria Child.
And that brings us to the famous freethinkers born in the month of November, and there are a lot of them.
Non-religious writers whose names you might know include Albert Camus, Turgenev, Schiller, Kurt Vonnegut, Robert Louis Stevenson, Margaret Atwood, Voltaire, William Blake, and George Eliot.
And the biggie for the month, Mark Twain, born November 30th, 1835. Also born in November was the mother of the American woman rights movement, the first woman to call for women's suffrage, the great Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Other iconoclasts born in November include Spinoza. He didn't really want to be one. Engels, Eugene V. Debs, and I would put in this bunch Pat Tillman, the athlete who is the ultimate atheist in a foxhole.
And then there are some famous musicians and composers. My favorite, Aaron Copland, Bjork, who is the Icelandic musician, and the very anti-religious Scott Joplin, who wrote all those rags, the maple leaf rag, which we hear the ice cream trucks doing all the time. And then, of course, also born in the month of November is your mother, Anne Nicol Gaylor. She was born on November the 25th, 1926, the founder of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Coming up, we'll talk with Greg Epstein, a chaplain at Harvard, who's not religious. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker, and we'll be right back with Free Thought Radio after this break.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And we have, I think for the first time ever on this show, we're going to interview a chaplain. Have we ever had a chaplain on before?
Anyone? I don't think so.
Well, this is an interesting kind of chaplain. Greg Epstein is the humanist chaplain at Harvard University. And he also sits on the executive committee of the Corps of Harvard Chaplains. And he is also a humanist rabbi, and we'll let him tell us what that means, a secular humanist rabbi. He was ordained, I guess that's what they call it, the International Institute for Secular Humanistic Judaism. Greg holds a BA in religion and Chinese and an MA in Judaic studies from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and a master's of theological studies from Harvard Divinity School. So what kind of product is Harvard Divinity School putting out? His brand new book just came out this fall. It's called Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Greg.
Thank you so much, Dan, Annie, Laurie. It's really a pleasure to be with you guys.
So you're calling us, we're calling you in the office of Harvard's chaplaincy, is that right?
That's right. I'm talking to you from my office. I have my own office for the humanist chaplaincy at Harvard here in the Memorial Church, of all things. And so we get lots of good jokes about the humanists, atheists, agnostics, and non-religious folks down here in the heart of Harvard's church.
And there's other religious chaplains in offices next to you and that kind of thing?
There are, and we have the occasional thumb-wrestling match or whatever it would be. And other than that, though, we get along pretty well.
I remember I was out there last year for a debate at Harvard, and I was kind of surprised that my rough guess is about half the divinity students are totally secular. Is that what you think?
Very much so, and I think that we're trying to harness that energy because my feeling, you know, is that the humanist movement now and the sort of secular and free thinking and non-religious movement is really ready and now needing more professional leadership. I mean, you know, we have so many millions of people around the country who are not religious. And I think that we're at the point now where we could actually be able to have communities and have institutions that are able to have some of the influence and the respectability and the power of some of the religious institutions. And so we're working on trying to set up a training program at Harvard Divinity School to actually train some of these secular students as humanist chaplains, secular leaders, and send them out.
So what do you guys all get together in a room and hold hands and not pray?
Well, yeah, we could probably learn from you guys at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, right? Don't you guys do a moment of bedlam?
Yeah, we just broadcast that last week.
Well, so that you have some very fun ideas that we should probably look into. But we do all kinds of things here at the Humanist Chaplaincy at Harvard. And I talk in my book about just a really wide range of ways in which humanists, atheists, agnostics, and the non-religious can come together and, you know, express their philosophy of life, express themselves in a positive way. And it ranges from, you know, any number of the kinds of things that I think you guys might do when you get together with your groups, when you get together with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, to things like secular forms of meditation that may be drawing rituals from Buddhist or Quaker traditions but doing them in a totally secular and non-theistic way, to, and Dan, you're a singer, so, you know, there might be some music involved, or we do a lot of discussion groups. We do a lot now of getting together and doing community service of one kind or another. So we're just trying to build a positive community for humanists, atheists, and the non-religious.
Now, I have to say, I think I only have two rituals in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The first is I do insist on birthday cake candles and being sung to on my birthday. And sleeping in on Sundays is my second ritual.
that's a good ritual.
Now, I think there's a lot of non-religious who are not really into ritual. Do you think it's like half and half, or...
Yeah, I mean, I would say that certainly, on the book, you know, the subtitle is What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe. And, I do sometimes joke that the one thing that I could guarantee you that all 1 billion non-religious people do believe is that there's no one thing that they would all agree on.
I think that's very true.
And certainly no one author or no one point of view that they would all sort of say, oh, yes, I raise my hand, I stand up for that. And that's absolutely great. I mean, that's one of the best things about our movement, if you want to call it a movement, or our way of identifying in the world. And so I would just say, though, that I think that there are a lot of rituals that we sometimes don't even notice in our lives. I mean, you know, we have graduation ceremonies that are sort of secular rituals. We have ways of marking important times in the calendar. I mean, you know, things like New Year's Day, right? This was originally a religious thing.
Well, it was actually originally it's part of nature.
Because of the solstice.
It's just the solstice.
Exactly.
The return
exactly.
of the sun. So that really predating religion. It's just,
well,
it a natural
exactly.
holiday.
Exactly. It predates any of the religions that we have on earth, you know, that we have in a mainstream way now. And the way that I look at religion, and the way that I explain religion, you know, when I'm talking to either non-religious or religious audiences, is I see religion as part of the overall body of human creativity. So
for better
human
or
beings
worse, yeah.
Created religion, exactly, 100% created by human beings. And as, you know, as what happens when human beings create things is that they come up with some good ideas and they come up with some terrible ideas. And that's what you see, I think, when you look at the history of religion, is some good ideas and some terrible ideas. Now, in the book, I try to talk about a few of the ideas that I think could be helpful, you know, that come from religion, but that we can do from a non-religious perspective just as well, if not better. And I talk about one of the things I talk about is secular and humanist alternatives to Alcoholics and Narcotics Anonymous. This wonderful program called Smart Recovery that I went and visited a lot while I was researching the book, that presents such a beautiful alternative for people to recover from drugs and alcohol, you know, using scientific methods as well as using the kind of peer community that you see in AA and NA. And that's just one example of the kind of ritual that people can engage in and sleep in on Sunday too.
Your book is called Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe. How do you know it's a billion people?
Well, the billion figure refers to the fact that all the major demographic studies that have been done recently, despite different methodologies, quote the figure of somewhere around a billion, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, people in the world who identify as either non-religious, secular, atheist, agnostic, and or humanist.
And a lot of those are the Chinese, aren't they?
Well, I did visit quite a few of those, in those guys in China when I was studying there as a college student. But, you know, you're talking about lots. You're talking about many millions in America and Canada, in India, in Russia, all over the world, really. But one of the things that I argue is that really being a humanist, and I like the word humanist. That's a word that resonates with me. But if people like the word atheist or agnostic or free thinker or whatever, I do say in the book that, if we don't believe in one perfect God that created the universe, why would you believe in one perfect word to refer to all the people who don't believe in that? But, you know, I talk about the fact that this is a tradition that goes back all throughout human history, and it goes back in every culture. So you find I take us through the history of humanism or free thought, and I take us through, for example, not just the Greek world like Epicurus and other philosophers that you guys are familiar with, but ancient Indian philosophers from 3,000 years ago who were incredibly humanist, incredibly free thinking.
We just heard Jennifer Heck talk about them at our last
convention. Yeah, Jennifer does, and her book Doubt, exactly. And I talk about African American humanism and Anthony Pinn's work there. I talk about a whole range of traditions. And one of the things that I was really inspired by, one of the best books that I read while researching this was Annie Laurie, was your collection No Gods, No Masters on humanist and free thinking women.
And
just wonderful, wonderful resource. And I do retell some of the stories that you tell in the book. I talk a little bit about Francis Wright and what have you. But I try to really draw on sources like that to say, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're from Eastern or Western cultural background, whatever your race, ethnicity, gender, etc., you have free thinkers and humanists and atheists and agnostics in your background. That's part of your identity. It's part of your heritage. Let's celebrate that. Let's show the world that we're just as powerful and inspiring a tradition as any other.
We're talking with Greg Epstein, the humanist chaplain at Harvard, the author of a brand new book called Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe. I'm Dan Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back after this break with Free Thought Radio.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker, and we're talking with Greg Epstein, the author of Good Without God. It just came out this fall. Subtitle, What a Billion Non-Religious People Believe. And Greg M. Epstein is the humanist chaplain at Harvard University.
So, Greg, in the introduction, I read that we can call you a rabbi. Is that like ordained rabbi or what?
Yeah, I am. You can call me a rabbi. You can call me Hey You. And I'll answer it to any of the above.
But what's this Institute for Secular Humanistic Judaism? These are non-believers.
Exactly. And I tell the story about this in the book. But this is a denomination of Judaism that says, and I wonder, I suspect that you may have some listeners out there who can resonate with this, that says Judaism is a culture. It's my culture. It's my background. It's my family's heritage. And it goes back for many, many, many centuries in that way. But in terms of my beliefs, I'm totally humanist, atheist, secular in my beliefs. So Judaism was created by human beings as a culture and as a religion. The idea of God, the idea of a chosen people, the Bible, all of it is just human-created stuff.
It's like Sherwin Wine.
Sherwin Wine,
he
exactly.
He was a good friend of ours, yeah.
Yes, so he was the founder of that movement, and my book is dedicated to him. I talk about him as, in my mind, one of the most important humanist or free-thinking thinkers of the past century, because he was somebody who said, look, we can be very bold and very honest about our atheism and our humanism, and we will not say any prayer that we don't believe in. We will not bow to any God that anyone has ever made up. But we do feel, some of us feel that we want a sense of community, a sense of culture, a sense of affirming, you know, some parts of our identity that we do value and that we do, you know, that do make our lives and our families unique. And that you can combine the two, that you can find new ways to express some of the old ideas and the old stories so that they're compatible with humanism.
Now, I think that one of the biggest bugaboos that the Freethought community faces is this idea that you can only be good if you believe in a God. So we only have a few minutes left. What are your strongest arguments? How do you try to get to non-religious or to religious people who have never heard of this concept that you can be good without God?
Sure. Well, first of all, what I say is that the book is not about whether or not, you know, you can be good without God. Because, you know, I say, look, there's a billion non-religious people. There's 40 or 50 million non-religious Americans. One in every four or five young Americans today is non-religious. And so we don't go and ask about Catholics or Protestants or Hindus or Muslims or Jews or Buddhists. Oh, is it possible, given what you believe, to be a good person? You know, is it possible for you to be a decent human being? And so the time is no longer to
Maybe we ought to.
You know, right. We no longer discuss or debate those issues. And so we have to reject this question of whether you can be good without God. You can be. Done. End of story. And anybody who says different, that's prejudice. It might even be discrimination. And nobody wants to be a prejudiced person, so we just say, look, I know you don't want to be prejudiced, let's get it out of the way. And we have to hold people to that standard. That said, we also, you know, I think it's also healthy to acknowledge that being a good person isn't easy for any of us. And we're not guaranteeing you that we're going to be any better or any worse than anybody else. We want to be understood as a community. And so the book is mainly about what it means to be a good person, how we live a good life, and how we can come together with others who are like us as free thinkers and humanists to live a good life and build a good community. So it's a rejection as prejudice of anybody that does not acknowledge that we're just as good as anybody else. But then it's trying to take them past that. And I, you know, some of my book tour, I've been, you know, going to speaking at interfaith conferences, and I've been on panels with rabbis and imams and priests and ministers. And, you know, I've gotten them all to be able to basically say, look, yeah, I acknowledge you guys are just as good as anybody else. And I'll tell my congregation and, you know, we need to move past this, because I think once we put a friendly face in front of them and we say, look, you know, we know you don't want to be prejudiced. They say you're absolutely right.
But come on, Greg, don't you have these, and admit it, without God, don't you have these urges to run out and steal and rape and commit mass murder? I mean, don't you need something to restrain you from those horrible animal instincts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and people do talk about this, and I do. I spend the first chapter sort of refuting all of that, you know, and just sort of getting all of that out of the way and saying, you know, like, let's look at how morality evolved and, you know, go through the science of it and the philosophy of it. But I also say, you know, again, that we can also build alliances with people so that we don't have to constantly be having that debate. And I give the example of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, when he was running for president in 1800, got accused viciously by his opponent, John Adams, and, you know, who said, you know, you have a choice. He said, Thomas Jefferson doesn't believe in God, and, you know, you want to choose me and God and a religious president, and, you know, and not impiously declare for Jefferson and no God. And they ran this ad. It was like Karl Rove, the original. And Jefferson was able to win the election, and he never denied that he was a deist and basically, I think, the first humanist head of state. Instead, he got together with liberal religious people of all kinds, Quakers, Jews, Methodists, all number of religious people, and he said, this guy Adams is religious, but he wants to impose a certain kind of religiosity. He wants to impose radical Presbyterianism, which is sort of that day's equivalent of today's religious right. And, you know that you want religious freedom, and join with me and we'll have religious freedom. And the people elected Jefferson knowing that he was the man who then later in his life, you know, took a scissors to the Bible and cut out every miracle involving Jesus' life. Knowing that Jefferson was a humanist and a free thinker, they elected him.
And that's
the ethos of my book, I think.
It is kind of nice that John Adams and Jefferson got back together and they had quite a correspondence.
They did.
I think the last words of John Adams, they died on the same day,
yeah,
was Jefferson lives.
And Jefferson wrote to Adams that that of course you can be good without God, because how do you explain all these good atheists? He actually listed Condorcet and D'Alembert.
He sure did.
And he said, look at all these great virtue. He used the word virtue. Virtuous people who don't believe in God. There must be some other reason besides the love of God to base our morality on.
Yep, exactly. And so, you know, the book assumes that, and it tells the story, you know, through stories like Jefferson and, you know, through people like, you know, the stories of people like Camus and his book, The Plague, you know, where we, you know, this doctor who faces this terrible plague and he doesn't believe in God, but he works so hard on behalf of his fellow human beings to save them because he believes in simply good for goodness's sake.
Well,
and he believes in what I call dignity. Like, I tell the stories of that to really say to people, look, this is a tradition.
We have to wrap up. I'm so sorry, Greg Epstein, but if you want to learn more, read his book, Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Religious People Do Believe. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Really pleasure to be with you guys.
Thank you, Greg. It was fun.
Thank you.
We also want to thank and welcome back our engineer, Brian Turani. Thanks for coming back to produce and engineer our show. This show, Free Thought Radio, is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Our announcer is Buzz Kemper. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear all these for download or for podcast.
And you can join FFRF, call 1-800-335-4021 or go to ffrf.org and ask for a sample copy of our newspaper. You can sign up for more information. Tune in next week for more blasphemous radio and rational broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.